The following is a lecture entitled Krishna Consciousness Solves All Problems, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on November 12th, 2011, in Greater Noida, India.
Shri Guru Shri Jatambara Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Dams Jeeva Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So, I have been asked to speak tonight that Krishna consciousness is the solution for all problems. You have problems, don't you? Everyone has problems. So what are your basic problems? Birth? That's a big problem. It's very painful being born. Spending so many months in the womb of your mother is very, very painful, frightening situation to be in. So the very first problem we have is birth. And then you come out, you're born, and then you have to get sick. Sickness is very, very disturbing. Sometimes it's so bad it's like living in a nightmare. When you become sick, it's like living in a nightmare. It's a horrible thing to be sick sometimes. When you become so sick, it's just like living in a nightmare. And then old age. There's so many problems with old age. Your hearing goes bad, your eyes go bad, your liver goes bad, your lungs, your bladder. Everything starts going bad with old age. You can't walk very well. So many problems with old age. And then if that wasn't enough difficulty, now death is coming, standing at your door waiting to jump on you. You see? These are very problematic conditions. So we may say, well, I have other problems. You know, I need money, I need a job, I need a spouse, I need this, that. These are very small-time problems, you see. The modern day society, they don't even acknowledge that birth, death, old age, and disease are problems that we can solve. They just say, those are given. You can't do anything about them. So let's worry about making money or having a new car or something like that, like it's a big problem. These are things that are not very big problems, really. Your material situation, these things are not very big problems. The big problem is birth, death, old age, and disease. If you can solve your birth, death, old age, and disease problem, the other problems will fall into place quite naturally. Ananyas chintayam tomam. Yejana prayapasate Tesham Nichiva Yuktanam Yogachemam Vahamyam. You know that shlok? Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, text number 22. Krishna says, for those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. Prabhupada gave a purport for this verse. He said, Krishna personally delivers to your door whatever you're needing. You see? So for one who becomes fully immersed in Krishna consciousness, all problems are automatically solved by Krishna. There's no problem. So we really only have one problem, and that is we are lacking Krishna consciousness. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur stated that there is no scarcity at all in this world except for one scarcity, and that scarcity is the lack of Krishna consciousness. So if this scarcity can be remedied, if we can fill in the scarcity, the lack of Krishna consciousness, with Krishna consciousness, then there's no other problems with it. Krishna is there at every minute. Do you think Krishna is not present? Savashyataham hridisandavishto mutaksmatir gyanam apohanam cha. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, text number 15. Krishna says, I am seated in the heart of all living entities, and from me come knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So Krishna is there within everyone's heart. What does this mean? Krishna will give you remembrance or forgetfulness according to what? According to your desire. Do you understand these points? Do you understand? I'm talking to you. Do you understand these points? I'm talking to you. Do you understand? Are you hearing me? Krishna says, I provide them with remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So if you desire to remember Krishna, he facilitate you in doing that. If you want to forget Krishna, he will give you full facility. He will give you Dr. Stephen Hawking to help you forget him, who says that this universe comes out of absolutely nothing. Can you imagine? He's considered the leading scientist in the world. He says this universe comes out of absolutely nothing. And they call that science. Where is the scientific experiment, you see? Science means observation and experiment. That's science. Okay. So where is the experiment? You can take nothing and get something. What experiment have they observed where you took nothing and got something out of it? How many of you ever made popcorn? Is that popular in Delhi? In the U.S. it's very popular, popcorn. You've made popcorn. Did you start off with an empty... Did you take an empty pot and turn on the fire and you got popcorn out of an empty pot? Really? You didn't put any kernels in the pot, did you? It was an empty pot with no kernels and you got a popcorn out of an empty pot. Or you put kernels in the pot? You put some kernels in the pot. Okay. So here we have a scientific experiment, you see. He put kernels in the pot, and then the popcorn came, because it came out of the kernels. It didn't come out of an empty pot. There was kernels in the pot. So, if you want to get a universe, it has to come out of something. There must be some substance, which is the root cause of this universal manifestation. So if you want to forget God, if you want to deny God, there will be so many philosophers like Dr. Stephen Hawking to give you some flowery words which really have no substance. to make you think, yes, now we have defeated all the theists. You see, we have Stephen Hawking now and his logic, and now we have defeated religion. Ha 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 ha. You see. But have they truly defeated religion? No, they've made fools out of themselves. They've abandoned true science to present some nonsense, ridiculous theories, you see. So if you want to solve the problems of life, you will not achieve this solution by forgetting God. Just like you may have a problem that the city government has cut off your electricity. So how will you solve the problem? You'll ignore the city government. The city government does not exist. Will that solve your electricity problem? They've cut off your electricity. And now you say, oh, I will deny their existence, and that way I'll get my electricity back. Will that come? You deny their existence. Every time the bill comes in the mail, you tear it up. I deny their existence. Ha ha. Is it? Will you get your electricity turned on again by tearing up the bill? No. By paying the bill, you see, then your electricity will be turned on again. So if you want to solve your problems of life, then you have to pay the bill. You see? You have to pay the bill. Anad bhavanti bhutani parjanyo anasambhavaha jagad bhavati parjanyo yajna karma samudbhavaha. Bhagavad Gita chapter 3 text 14. All living bodies subsist on fruit grains which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by the performance of yajna, and yajna is born of prescribed duties. If you want your material necessities of life, you have to pay the bill. That is, how do you pay the bill? Yajna. And what is the prescribed yajna for this age? Harinam Sankirtan, yajna. So if you want to solve your problems of life, it is not difficult. You simply chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. In this way, your problems of life will be solved. And you engage everything in Krishna's service. Yat karoshi, yat asnasi, yat jahoshi, jadasi, yat yat tapashashi konteya, tat katishva mudarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. If you will follow the simple formula given in the Bhagavad Gita, if you will study Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, you will carefully follow His instructions, then I guarantee you all your problems will be solved. And whatever problems you do have in this present life, you will see they're actually a blessing to help you become free from your attachment to material sense gratification, so that you can regain the completely problem-free Vaikuntha realm upon leaving this body. So for devotee, even a problem is not a problem. It's a blessing. I have an aging body. Well, that's a problem for materialist, because he thinks he is the body. But for devotee, it's a blessing. My aging body means Krishna is getting me ready for my spiritual body. So for devotee, everything's a blessing. There's no such thing as a problem for devotee. Someone who is... Of course, there are two types of devotees. You know, there's the akama devotee and the sakama devotee. The sakama devotee, he is full of all material desires, and he approaches God, give me this, give me that, give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, and replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. So that's called the Sakama Bhakta, you see. He's a devotee. He bows down to God. But he comes with so many desires. Give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me. You see, I'm not picking on the Hindus. It's everywhere. Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and every religion, it's full of these Sakama Bhaktas who want this, this, give me, give me, give me, give me. You see? The unique contribution of ISKCON to the world of bhakti is ISKCON is teaching the science of how you can achieve a kama bhakti without any material desires, you see. This is the unique position of ISKCON in the religious world. We are teaching a kama bhakti. Everyone else is teaching sakama bhakti. It's a very important thing. The kama principle is there in Christ's teachings also, but the Christians don't understand it. Christ also taught akama bhakti. He said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. So our mood is not Krishna, give me this and that. Our mood is Krishna, please bless me that I can become fully surrendered unto you. That's all you need to be happy. The only thing you need to be happy is to be fully surrendered to Krishna. That's all you need. If you think you need something besides full surrender to Krishna to make you happy, you're called a Sakama Bhakta. So please do not think you need something besides Krishna consciousness to make you happy. If you're Krishna conscious, everything will become perfect in your life. Krishna will bless you. Tesham tatata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam tadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upiyanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. Krishna will help you make every decision properly through within the heart or from the devotees or from the spiritual master or from Prabhupada's books. You'll understand how to make every decision perfectly. Should I be a brahmachari? Should I be a grihastha? What should I, if I'm a grihastha, should I, what sort of livelihood? I mean, all these things become clearly understood. Every decision in life, if you're sincere to always be devoting yourself to Krishna, Krishna will help you with every single decision you make. When should I get initiated? Who should I get initiated from? Everything will be guided by Krishna within the heart. All you have to do is be very, very sincere that at every minute, every thought, every word, every deed must be for Krishna's pleasure. That's all you have to do. All you have to do is train yourself. It's called mental discipline. All you have to do is train yourself. Okay, here I am at my job today. How can I do this in such a way that I can always think of Krishna? There's my boss over there telling me, do this, do that, do this, do that. He's really expert at working me hard. You can think, oh yes, this is Krishna. Krishna says, I am the ability in man. So this ability my boss has to work me hard all day at the office, that's Krishna. You see? So in every way you can see Krishna here, Krishna there. When you take a water break at work, what does Krishna say? Rasoham apsikonteya. That was the first instruction I heard from Prabhupada when I was blessed with his physical presence. He told us, he said, every day you're drinking water once, twice, thrice, more than that every day. If every time you drink water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, then immediately you become Krishna conscious. To become Krishna conscious is not difficult. Simply, it requires practice. So all you have to do is understand what is this practice of Krishna consciousness. Read Prabhupada's books, hear the preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement, understand what is this process clearly. If you don't understand it, ask questions until you get your understanding clear. And once you understand this process, practice it every day. At home, at work, in the commute, at the temple, wherever you may go. Practice it at every minute. And if you do so, you'll have no problems in your life. The only problems we have are when we forget Krishna. So we only have one problem, and that is forgetting Krishna. If you remember Krishna, then all the problems will evaporate, and you'll have a problem-free existence, a Vaikuntha existence, for your whole life. And when will your life end? Never. This life you're in now will simply be chapter one. When I came to Krishna consciousness after going through 8,400,000 species again and again and again and again and again, I came to Krishna consciousness, and that was chapter one. Now chapter two, that remains to be seen. When you leave your body, it's not the end. You go into chapter two. If you're qualified to go back to Godhead, you'll be, chapter two will be in Goloka Vrindavan, or you could be here in the material world again, if you haven't finished up your material desireship. Or if you're deputed for preaching work, you could also come back again in your next life for preaching. See, a devotee, he's not thinking, well, I will, if Krishna lets me go back to Godhead, I'll be surrendered to him. No. His surrender is unconditional. That's why we pray in the Guru Puja to Prabhupada, Janme Janme Prabhu Se. You are my worshipful Lord, birth after birth after birth. We're not praying that I have to go back to Godhead. We're simply praying, please engage me in your pure devotional service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When you have this mood, the kama mood of pure bhakti, you're already liberated. Tate nukam pamsu samikshamano punjanna et patma vikamraka. What is that? Vijanva et atma vikamrakapam tadbhagvapurvir vidadam namaste jiveto yomukti padesa dayabhat. My dear Lord, those persons who are constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon them, who continue to offer respectful obeisances unto you from the innermost cores of their hearts while they continue to suffer the reactions from their past misdeeds, are certainly eligible candidates for liberation. Indeed, it has become their rightful claim. So a devotee who is in this mood of complete surrender, seeing everything as the mercy of Krishna, he's already liberated. As confirmed by Jiva Goswami, Iha yashaharir dashe karmana manasagira nikalas bhaktyabhastasu jivan muktasa uchate. One who engages his body, mind and words in the service of Krishna in all situations is a liberated soul, even more than this material existence. So you want to be a liberated soul? You'd like to be a jivan mukta? You can do that. You can be a liberated soul. You don't have to be a conditioned soul, a prisoner of Maya any longer, a slave of the material energy. You can become a liberated soul right now. You can begin. Make your determination. My every thought, my every word, my every deed must be for Krishna from now on. That's all. Bas. You see? Then you're a liberated soul. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Papers, yeah, good. I like this paper for me. You pass the papers up, yeah. Okay. Okay, first question. What is the meaning of surrender to Guru? Surrender to Guru means you must have full faith that he is purely representing the words of Krishna. Yasya deve para bhaktir tata deve tata guru tasyaite kyatita hyata prakarsham de mahatmana. Only unto those souls who have unflinching faith in the words of Guru and Krishna are the imports of Vedic knowledge revealed. Sometimes we see foolish neophyte devotees, they doubt their spiritual master. Well, somebody said something different than my guru said, so maybe my guru was wrong. You see? No. That means they're not surrendered. A surrendered disciple has full faith. And why the full faith should be there? Because his guru doesn't present his own opinion. He simply presents what he has heard from his spiritual master. If someone is introducing a different concept, that is speculation. There is one clear message coming from the guru parampara. If one introduces some other idea, that is speculation. So surrender to guru means you have full faith, unflinching faith in what he says to you, and you're completely surrendered to following his instructions. And birth, death, old age, and disease are the main problem. Okay. How can one serve and worship Krishna and also do service to their parents at the same time in life? Well, Krishna's, if you become completely surrendered devotee of Krishna, Krishna orders you to respect your parents. So that's part of Krishna consciousness. It's given in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says the austerity of the body is to offer you respectful obeisances to your parents. So Krishna supports the principle of being respectful to one's parents. If you really love your parents, you'll make them Krishna conscious. If you're really convinced that Krishna is God, then you want to save your parents from the cycle of birth and death, you'll make them Krishna conscious. If you're not convinced that Krishna is God, you may think, well, you know, we have our philosophy, my parents have their philosophy. No. That means you're not convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you're truly convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the very best service you can do for your parents is to make them Krishna conscious. What is the meaning of putra? One delivers the parents from hell. You see, from the same organ, the semen comes, the urine also comes. So one who has not delivered his parents from one who is not putra, he is called mutra or urine. So if you don't deliver your parents, your duty is to deliver your parents. That is putra, one who delivers from hell. But if you don't deliver your parents, you are mutra or urine. So don't be mutra or urine, be putra, one who delivers your parents from hell. That is the best, that is real service to the parents. My dear Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisance. How can I purely serve pure devotees? Always try to please them. If we do not ask something from Krishna, then from whom should we ask? For a car, bangles, house, etc. What you think you have to ask for those things? You Do you think that you get a car and a house just by begging some god to give it to you? Is that your conception? No, you do your livelihood, you earn your income and use that. We're not beggars, we're just supposed to not sit idly and not do anything and ask someone to give us a house. Please, can you give me a house? Please, can you give me a car? Everyone is meant to earn a livelihood. So you earn your livelihood by honest means, and whatever income that produces, you live on that standard. That's a simple thing. Not that you become a lazy fellow and just beg some god, demigod or god to give you your necessities of life. Of course, they're all coming from Krishna ultimately. But it's not that we're meant to sit and do nothing. You're meant to act as a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. You're meant to work in one of those four capacities. Everyone is meant to work in one of these four capacities. Not that we just do nothing and just ask some god, god or demigod to give us our necessities of life. When you were a child growing up in your home, did you ask your parents to feed you every day? My dear mommy and daddy, will you feed me today? Did you ever ask your parents? No, you just do your duty as a child. Whatever your parents say, you do your duty. That's all. And the food is there. So in the same thing, you do your duty at whatever stage of life you're in. You do your duty and your necessities will be there. That's all. You don't beg your parents for your daily bread. How can we please Guru? Follow his instructions with love. Is Diksha a must for becoming Krishna conscious? In stage one? No. In stage two? No. In stage three and higher? Yes. The first stage is Shraddha, our faith. You don't require a guru to be Krishna conscious at the beginning level. The second stage is Sadhu Sangha. You don't require to be initiated to associate with devotees. The third stage, Bhajana Kriya, to seriously take up the practice of bhakti, yes. You must have guru. It's confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami, Adau Gara Shvayam. Now you're serious about bhakti? Okay, your first principle is you must have a guru. Gura Adau Garashvayam, your first principle is you must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Rupa Goswami's instruction. So if you want to become fully Krishna conscious, yes. If you want to become slightly Krishna conscious, no. If you want to go back to Godhead, you have to be fully Krishna conscious or slightly good enough. Is slightly Krishna conscious good enough to go back to Godhead? Yes or no? That's right. Therefore, Diksha is required if you want to become perfect in Krishna consciousness. How can one see Krishna? Premanjana charita bhakti velochanena santaksadaiva hridayeshu velokayanti yam shama shundaram achinda ganasvarupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Brahmaji has answered your question. If you want to see Krishna, that's all you have to do. You have to go to a chemist who has a special ointment called Premanjana. And you have to anoint your eyes with that Premanjana. And if you do that, the cataracts will be removed and you will see Krishna. You see, that is all. You have to anoint your eyes with the ointment of love of God. And how do you apply that ointment? Through the ears. It's a very special mystical ointment. You apply it through the ears. You take the Shabda Brahma, the words emanating from the Shastra and the words emanating from the lotus mouth of Guru, and you take those words in through your ears into your heart. Deep, deep, deep into your heart. And by the purifying effect of those words which act as an ointment to purify your vision, you will see God in due course. Actually, you're seeing God right now. You wear glasses. Take off your glasses for a minute. Your sitting's blurry now. It's kind of blurry. They're not so clear. It's blurry. Yeah. put him on Bani, put him on again. Now you can see clearly, right? Okay. So right now, just like he took his glasses off, everything became blurry. So he's still seeing me, but it was a blurred version of me he was seeing. You see. So actually, we are all seeing God at this very minute. We're seeing a very blurred version. Krishna is completely out of focus. We're blurred by lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. We're blurred right now. We have blurred vision. So this premanjana, it brings the eyes back into focus gradually, gradually, gradually. And actually, Krishna is there, is always there. We just can't see him because our eyes are blurred by sense gratification. But with this process, premanjana charita bhakti valochane na, by this process, your vision becomes purified and you say, oh, Krishna was always here. I just couldn't see him. Now I can see he's here. Blessing me, smiling at me, showering his mercy on me. He was always there. I just couldn't see him because I was so blinded by this idea that I am God. You see? In the middle of the battlefield, at the time of something, Kurukshetra, Arjuna and Krishna were alone. Nobody could hear what they were telling about. And who brought the preaching? Actually, Sanjaya had mystic CNN powers. He was able to see everything that was going on. He's not. He could hear every word that was being spoken by the. He had special powers, telepathic powers. So it's not that it wasn't being heard. How to avoid life at the office, lying at the office, and maintain Krishna consciousness? Do you think that you cannot lie if you're Krishna conscious? Sometimes we have to lie in Krishna service. One time I was distributing prasadam to one friend of mine. He was a South Indian Christian, Kerala wala. I brought some prasadam cookies. I said, "Here, I'd like to offer you a cookie." He said, "Is it prasadam?" Because if it was, he wasn't going to touch it. He said, "Oh no, it's not prasadam." I didn't. So all right, I'll take it. So sometimes in Krishna's service, we have to lie. You see. Actually, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Prabhupada wrote me a letter about this. I asked Prabhupada specifically about lying. He wrote me one letter. He told me that during the days of the Gaudiya Mata, the preachers, the disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they would sometimes get donation by saying, "Our Guru Maharaj lived for 13 years in the forest eating only the tulsi leaf." It's not true, it was a lie. When they told Guru Maharaj, he laughed. He was laughing to hear how they had done that. So sometimes in Krishna's service, we may tell a lie, you see. But there's the principle, if you have to catch the big fish without getting wet. If you have to tell a lie, you have to tell it in such a way that no one can ever know. Otherwise, it's better just to tell the truth. Because if you tell one lie and then to tell another lie to defend that one, another lie to defend that one, another lie to defend that one, you get so many lies stacked on top of each other, you lose track of them. So it's better to tell the truth, actually, is the principle. It's honesty is the best policy. But sometimes, lying may be used for Krishna. It's not, because the highest principle is to do whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness. It's a higher principle than lying or not lying. You see? It's like sometimes the parent has to give the child some bitter medicine. And then the child hears it is medicine they will never take. He says, "Oh, my dear son, have this nice lozenges, this wonderful candy." You see? For a higher purpose, sometimes you can tell lying. But don't make a habit of lying, you see. Only if really necessary, one can tell lying. You have to see whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness. How higher study become devotional service? Bhaktivedanta. What is higher study? Krishna consciousness. Vedic wisdom, that is higher study. If you're talking about the university, that is lower study. That is not higher study. Talking about engineering degree, that is not higher study. That is lower study. You understand? That is lower study. That is not higher study means Krishna bhakti. That is higher study. Anything besides Krishna bhakti, bhakti shastri, you see. Bhakti vaibhava, bhakti sarvabhama, these degrees, this is higher study. Not this MA, PhD, this is lower study. PhD stands for plow driver. Let him get out there and plow the land. That'll be a good use of their PhD degrees. But if you're talking about the university studies, the only way you can use them for Krishna, in most cases, is you have to take the money you earn and you spend it for Krishna. That's all. You're increasing your earning power by getting that degree. So now use that money not for sense gratification. Use every penny in Krishna's service. That's how to engage your higher study in devotional service. Being students, we are always engaged with this material world. So how can a student become Krishna conscious? You must chant 16 rounds every day before you begin your studies. And then you know why you're studying. You're doing it for Krishna. If your study is first and your japa is later, you'll never really get the proper understanding. Chant 16 rounds first thing, and then study. My dear Guru Maharaj. Oh, I already read that one. Okay. How can one serve and worship Krishna? Oh, that one I already did. Okay. How can I become steady in the practice of Krishna consciousness? You have to be equipoised. That's the key. If you want to be steady or nishta, fixed up, you have to be. This is described in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text 20. Naprashishat priyam prapya, norvijat prapashapriyam, stirabhira. I'm just not forgetting. Naprahyashat priyam prapya, norvijat prapashapriyam, stirabhudhira sangmudo, ramavid brahmanistitaha. One who does not rejoice upon achieving something pleasant, nor lament upon obtaining something unpleasant, who is self-controlled, unbewildered, and who knows the science of God, is already situated in transcendence. So that's the key, to be steady. When things go great, don't get all elated and think, oh, I'm great, I've achieved this, to see how wonderful I am. No. When something goes bad, no. Don't lament. Try to see how Krishna is acting in every situation in your life. You see, train yourself to see how Krishna is acting in the good times, the bad times, the beautiful times, the ugly times, and every time. See how Krishna is acting. And then you'll be steady. Every Guru Maharaj says, with Krishna consciousness, we will be free from material world and live spiritual life. But I like material world, and I want to serve Krishna in the material world. Is there any problem with this? We have no problem if you want to become a pure devotee in the material world. That's great. We need a lot of pure devotees here. Purify the material world. So you want to be a pure devotee in the material world? We have no preconception of that. That means you engage everything in Krishna's service. If you want to do it here, we have no problem. We need people to stay back and preach lifetime after lifetime. It is said that we should refer Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra before following Krishna consciousness. But if we're referring to Shastra, then it is not that we don't have full faith in Krishna. What do you mean? Shastra is Krishna's words. What is it? You think there's a difference between Shastra and Krishna? Shastra means especially Bhagavad Gita, the words of Krishna, and the words about Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam. Why are you making a distinction between Shastra and Krishna? Krishna is giving us the Shastra. Vedashtachar varaham eva vedyo. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Vedanta krit vedavid eva chaham. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedanta and the knower of the Vedas. Krishna has given us this Vedic wisdom which is meant for understanding Him. You think, that why are you making some distinction? This is not a proper understanding. How Krishna is a supernatural power. Krishna is not a supernatural power. He is the powerful who manifests the supernatural power. Supernatural power means energy. Krishna is not energy, He is energetic, the source of the energy. This is an impersonal concept, that Krishna is a supernatural power. No, that's impersonalism. Krishna is the source of the supernatural power. He's not supernatural power. His spiritual energy is supernatural power, but He is the energetic source of that supernatural power. Don't fall into impersonalism. How can a person be Krishna conscious by calling out his education and job, spend every penny for Krishna? And how much for sense gratification? Zero. That means if you're a householder, you have to make your home. Don't make it a andakupa, a dark well. Make your home into an ashram. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, I am working my job. He was an employee by the British government. He said, I'm working my job to maintain Krishna's household. You see? In this way. Why Krishna gives us life? We all know that the end of life is death. Why do you think life ends? How you can say life ends? This is a material conception. You think life ends? Life is eternal. Life doesn't end. Only this temporary body ends. Why do you think life ends? There's no such thing as end of life. Only the body ends, but not the living entity. He never dies. He gives us life because He doesn't like to be alone. That's what Krishna likes to enjoy in the company of others. So He manifests us eternally from Himself to enjoy loving rasa. What is Krishna's name? Rasa Raj. He is the king of rasa. So He is enjoying an unlimited rasa. It's like if we say, okay, come today for the Sunday feast, we're having a wonderful feast. And we serve out one prep. You go, what? You said it was a feast and there's only one preparation? How is this? How can it be a feast when there's only one prep? Feast means many preps. You see, the more variety of preps, the more opulent the feast, isn't it? It's like I was with my godbrother on his Vyas Puja. They made for him 1,008 preparations, and that was a feast. You see? So the more there is variety, that is enjoyment. So Krishna manifests, what is His capacity for enjoyment? Unlimited capacity for enjoyment. Therefore, Krishna expands from himself an infinite number of jiva souls so he can enjoy rasa, a unique rasa with each one of those infinite number of individual jiva souls. So that's why you have life, so Krishna can enjoy more. Why did Krishna make this type of cycle, birth and death? Because you wanted to try to be independent from God. He facilitated you. You can give it a try. For you, He did this. Who are we? What is the means of God? Who are we? You are you. Jivera Sarupahai Krishnara Nityadas. God's means is mercy. He has no other means beyond mercy. Why does Krishna live? For his own enjoyment. What does he do apart from creating and running the universe? Krishna doesn't personally do that. You think he's some business manager? No, he has the Vishnus do this. Krishna's business is to play the flute and attract the gopi girls. Is it? Smaran bangi traya parachitam sati vishtirna dishtim vangshi nastada kishilayam ujvalam trandakena govindakyam haritanam itaha keshi tirtapakante ma pekshishtava yadi sake mande sange sturangaha. You know that shlok by Rupa Goswami? He describes this pastime of one gopi. She is telling her gopi girlfriend, "My dear Sakhe, my dear gopi girlfriend, tonight down at Keshi Ghat on Jamuna Bank, in a beautiful moonlit night, there is one boy named Govinda. He is standing there in his yellow dhoti, the peacock feather in his hair, playing the flute. He's placing the flute to his lips, which are like newly blossomed twigs. He is casting sidelong glances. If you have any desire, my dear girlfriend, to continue enjoying society and friendship and love, then don't you dare go down to Keshi Ghat tonight. Don't you go. Do not go. Do not go." So this is what Krishna is up to. He's stealing the heart of the gopis. That's his business. You think he's interested in managing the universe when he can associate with all the most beautiful girls in the society and the whole creation? No way. He's not going to waste his time managing the universe when he can associate with those beautiful girls. No way. Vishnus do all that kind of stuff. Okay. As you said, that by following Krishna consciousness, we can go back to Godhead. And we will be relieved from the cycle of birth and death. But as we know, that our original mode is the Satchidananda, which means we have the absolute knowledge, then why we have fallen and become conditioned souls?
Curiosity killed the cat.
What would it be like if I was God? I wonder what it would be like if I was God. I think I'd like to try being God. I really want to be God. I am God. You see? And there you are in the material world. You see? Curiosity killed again. So now we've learned the hard way. We got burned. So now hopefully we learned our lesson and we won't try to be God ever again. If we have knowledge, then why we have desired to come? I already answered it. What is the soul? That's you. How does it activate and deactivate the human body? Just like your car, when you get in it, You turn the ignition on, you do the steering wheel, You see, right now you're seated in the body and you're driving it around. You brought it here to the base tonight. After tonight, you'll drive your body home somewhere else. You see, you're driving it around just like a car. By sitting in the heart of your body, you're driving it here and there. Yantra. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, body is machine. Yantra. Is there any network between Lord Krishna and us, like a wireless network in the client and the server? Oh yes. Just like we have internet, there is also Krishna net. How do you log into Krishna net? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And when you are connected with Krishna, you are connected with everything. The internet doesn't connect you with everything, but the Krishna net connects you with absolutely everything. I want to clear my exams, but I'm very bad in studies. So you're asking Krishna to help you? That's nonsense, Sakama Bhakta. We used to have a preaching center by the University of Texas. And there was many, we were actually two blocks from the engineering school, if you can imagine, at the University of Texas. I mean, some of you engineering students have probably heard about the University of Texas. It's the largest university in the U.S. And they have a big, big engineering school. So we had a few Indian boys come regularly, but in the beginning of the semester in the fall, we had this huge flood of Indian students would come when the semester began. You know why they came? To beg blessings to make good grades, you see. And that's all. Once a year they came when the fall semester began. So don't be nonsense like that, you see. Coming to Krishna for good grades. Good grades will not save you the time of death. If you want good grades, work hard. Don't be a lazy fellow. You see, work hard. If you want good grades, that's all right. You study hard. Chant 16 rounds and work really hard. Become a master of this knowledge. Devotee is expert in everything. So how you can be bad in studies? That means you're not Krishna conscious. Expert is one of the qualities of a devotee. So if you're truly Krishna conscious, you will naturally be expert in everything you do. If you're Krishna conscious, you'll be an expert student. Before I became a devotee, I was a fairly good student. I was on the dean's list. You know, I was an honored student. But after I became a devotee, for different reasons, sometimes I had to take some studies. I made straight A's all the way through every training course I took. Except for Sanskrit. I made a B in Sanskrit. Sanskrit's pretty tough. But the point is, after I became a devotee, I sometimes had to take some studies. But I made straight A's in my studies, you see, after becoming a devotee. So if you're Krishna conscious, you should be expert in your studies naturally. Because you see Krishna within every page of your textbook. Is it Krishna Shakti as magnetic power which attracts us more once we get connected? Yes. Krishna is the ultimate magnetic power. And once you get connected with Krishna, you will forget about this material world, just like that gopi girl warning her gopi girlfriend. You see. Once you really get connected with Krishna, you won't be interested in this nonsense sense gratification anymore. So, if you have any desire to enjoy society, friendship, and love here in Greater Noida, whatever you do, do not chant Hare Krishna. I hope you understood, I'm not telling you not to chant. It's called reverse psychology. The gopi was, after the gopi told her girlfriend, don't go, she went running immediately. And I hope you understood. I wasn't telling you not to chant. I was telling you to become completely Krishna conscious. I hope you understood. There was a stunned silence there, and I hope you didn't misunderstand my point. Hare Krishna Maharaj Ji, please accept my most humble obeisances. What is more important, sadhana or practical service? Practical service is sadhana. You think your practical service is not sadhana? It is sadhana. That's part of your sadhana. What should be our priority? Well, your 16 rounds have to be done. That is absolute priority. And everything is, then all the service should be done too. Not in the name of sadhana, you neglect your service. If we are something, Shastra, professing something, see if you can figure out what if we are what?
If we are referring
to Shastra, then is it that we don't have full faith in our Guru? Now, the words are, one who has full faith in the words of Guru and Krishna, the words of Krishna are in the Shastra. You should have full faith in Guru and Scripture. You should see how your Guru is a living embodiment of the Scripture. And you should see how the Scripture is perfect manifestation of Krishna's teachings. You should see both things simultaneously. Prabhupada actually says the Guru is not the center, the Scripture is the center. Because the Guru is a bona fide spiritual master, is a perfect manifestation of Scripture, then he is also the center. But the Scripture is actually the center. If the Guru acts against the Scripture like that Sukracharya did, he can be rejected. We rejected a guru who preaches against the Scripture. We have faith in this guru because he is a living embodiment of the Scripture. Our faith in the guru is based on our faith in the Scripture. So we have a three-way check and balance system: guru, sadhu, and shastra. We understand who is guru from the sadhus and the shastra. We understand who is sadhu from the guru and the shastra. We understand what is shastra from the guru and the sadhu. It's a three-way check and balance system. What is the means of Yogeshwara? Why is Krishna known as Yogeshwara? He's the master of mystic power. Why everyone does not get Krishna? Because they don't want him. Where does Krishna live? He lives in the hearts of his pure devotees. What does he do apart from... Oh, I already answered that. That one is already answered too. What's that mean? Okay. This one I postponed because it was hard to read. I'll try now. You said that a kama bhakti is also in other traditions. So what is the reason they are not able to understand? Because they don't have a living parampara that's teaching. They don't have a living akama parampara. That's why. We have that in our society. A living akama parampara. Sometimes we hear confusing philosophy in Krishna consciousness, so how can we avoid such confusion? It's a fact that sometimes, even in ISKCON, we hear there was one devotee, one of our preachers, he was preaching bogus philosophy. Prabhupada has always taught us that book distribution is the greater Sankirtan, the Brihat Madanga. This devotee was saying, no, the Harinam is more important than book distribution. So someone thinks, well, someone accepts that statement. They have to think that Prabhupada was wrong and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Guru was wrong. You see. So if we hear confusing philosophy, we have to go back and see what has Prabhupada said. Prabhupada is the authority. His books are the basis. I'll give you an example. Even when Prabhupada was here, we had controversies. Prabhupada gave in 1970, he gave sannyas to 4 men. And Prabhupada went to India for the first time. And while he was gone, there's an old saying, the cat's away, the mice will play. When Prabhupada left for India, these sannyasis were preaching that Prabhupada was Krishna. Then anybody who didn't accept that Prabhupada was the Supreme Personality of Godhead should leave ISKCON. You see? Bogus, completely bogus philosophy, Mayavadi philosophy. And the devotees were bewildered. The GBC had just been formed. And that these were supposed to be the leading preachers of the movement. They were preaching bogus philosophy. So the devotees didn't know what to do. They got together, they read the books. They said, this doesn't match what Prabhupada is saying in his books. So they wrote Prabhupada. And you know what Prabhupada did? He said, he told those 4 sannyasis, you're not allowed to go to any ISKCON temple. You can't go to any ISKCON temple. The devotees said, they're not allowed to come to your temples. And Prabhupada told them to go out and open 10 temples each and purify themselves from their offense. And then they were allowed to come back. You see. So sometimes there are philosophical controversies in ISKCON. Some devotee will preach bogus philosophy. Recently that happened in Vrindavan. One devotee was preaching that sadhana bhakti is an impediment for ecstatic love of God. He was preaching that Harinam is more important than book distribution. This is bogus. If we hear bogus philosophy, we shouldn't... Just because somebody is a big preacher or a famous devotee in our movement doesn't mean that whatever they say is right. You have to see what's in Prabhupada's books. And then you can know what is right. If somebody preaches bogus philosophy, don't be a sentimentalist. You have to study Prabhupada's books and know what Prabhupada is saying and stick with Prabhupada's version of the Krishna conscious philosophy. Don't take somebody else's interpretation. Take what Prabhupada says. Everyone gets what one deserves according to one's karma. Then what is the need to pray for material things? That's right. You don't need to. We should only pray for devotional service. No need to pray for material things. They will come anyway, according to your past pious and impious deed. You pray for Krishna consciousness. That's all you need to pray for. Don't waste your time praying for money, praying for a wife, a husband, a house, a car. Don't waste your time, a green card. Don't waste your time praying for these things. Just pray for bhakti. Do yourself a favor. Don't waste your time, you know, like a dog chasing his tail, you know. Don't waste your time praying for material things. It's stupid. It's asinine. You know that word asinine? It's an English word, it means stupid. Notice how it's connected with the word ass? Mudha. Don't be an ass. Don't be asinine person praying for material things. It's stupid. If you simply pray for Krishna consciousness, Krishna will see that all your material necessities come, whatever you need. Okay, the questions have run out and the time has run out. So we thank you all very much for so nicely receiving us here tonight in the base, the greater Noida base. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.